Hey guys, what's up? It's James Stewart. Welcome to the Rewind Show. Round number 11, Monster Energy Supercross. You know what time it is. We about to watch this thing. We got to go check it out. Somebody's going to get a neck burn. Is Toe Smack going to keep smacking around? Bustin' Cap, Jason Andrew, is he back after being dizzy last weekend? Did Piggyback Ride, Cooper Webb, and Chase Sexton, are they back? Is Mookie Fever going to do it again? Well, let's go find out at round 11. Let's check it out, guys. So as we start off, Justin Barcia had a good ride last weekend, pulled a whole shot this weekend, got that burrito finger going on. They didn't show it this time, which was good. Probably TV ratings went down after seeing that. Looked like Frankenstein finger. Anyways, everybody was up there. You had Eli, my brother, Jason Anderson, Cooper, Marvin, the French. Now, I think Cooper actually got a bad start, but anyways, he was up there. Let's just say he was up there. Nonetheless, Justin Barcia. Now, I was curious, like the way Justin started his season, he had fight when he was up front, like he kind of stayed there. So it was nice to see him back. I think that last weekend gave him a lot of confidence. And you had to know that Jason was going to have to show back up. Like, I mean, this championship, in my opinion, was lost last weekend, last two weekends. So the best thing he could hope for is actually winning the race. And he didn't do that, but still he put up a good fight. I would for sure say with Jason, you know, he had the last weekend, you know, being concussed or whatever it was, and not being concussed, just hitting his head, getting, you know, folded up, dizzy, getting smacked around, really. He had to come back and perform. I felt like no matter what, he had to win. Eli was looking good all day long. You know, even though, like, you know, he just got in there, like I think sometimes when these tracks are so short, what you'll see is these guys are like, you know, the guys up front, they'll do their thing. You know, they'll come out hot. They'll try to get a gap. But at some point, guys start settling because, you know, there's like 28 laps, you know, 25 to 28 laps. And it might not seem like, you know, that much more than normal, but it's the mental. Like when you know you got to do 28 laps of this thing, case in point, look how far they lap up to. Like it's never good. You would think with short tracks that the racing would be tighter. It means tracks easier. Nah, it's actually like you get in more lap traffic, you lap guys farther up, which you would think you lap more people at Daytona, but here on these shorter tracks, so you end up doing it. So what, like I was saying, you get the guys that's up front, top five, they do their thing like normal. The other guys, they pace themselves. And I think you saw that with Eli. You know, he got up there with Jason, he battled a couple, you know, first few laps, and then he realized he couldn't get past him. And then you saw him back out. And to me, what I thought Eli was doing was just pacing himself, kind of letting the thing play out, seeing what was going to happen with, you know, Justin and Jason, see if they'll get into it. And then my brother started coming up on him. So that kind of changed Eli's, you know, mentality a little bit, having to move forward. But to me, I felt like Eli rode a smart race, you know, and that's the luxury of having 41 points or whatever it was. And kind of knowing the people that you're racing against. Justin's ultra aggressive. Jason's ultra aggressive. And I think Eli knew, like, you know, Jason had to make something happen. So, you know, the case of him getting around Jason and not really, you know, having a confrontation was probably going to be unlikely. So Eli let the race come to him. You know, but Jason and Justin got into it, and we'll get into that in a minute. But I think Eli's, you know, in a position where he's been at all year long, and he's gotten, you know, slowly confident, more and more confident. And, you know, that's just kind of paid fact of how he's riding and all that. And people are starting to take notice. Like you hear it more just from even with him and just how people commentate on him and comment on him. They see it. And, you know, I like to say that, you know, that's, he's done a good job. Yamaha's team done a good job. And he's put all these boys in a situation where, they're taking each other out. They're doing things that, you know, they don't want to. And it's because of this guy. So now the last few weekends, the tracks have been, you know, hard with ruts in it. And even this track, it was super slippery. Like, don't get it twisted. It had all these ruts in there. But it had some slippery parts, and, you know, you could see that shiny stuff, in it. And I think, like, you know, that puts you in a weird situation because, you know, when the track's hard, then I believe you have the softer bikes, like the KTM, the you know, Huskies, and GasGas. I think their bikes, you know, work well on the slippery surfaces. But then when you have it hard and, you know, steep and rutted, then I don't know. I don't necessarily think those bikes work the best. I felt like this weekend that, you know, how good Justin rode, that's because of determination. And as I'm saying that, his bike looked good. But when you compare Eli's bike to, let's just say, Jason, they look completely different to me. I felt like Eli's bike worked very well in both of those situations, like where it was sticky in the middle part of those rhythm sections where he was super confident, where I think Jason's bites worked well there, but it didn't work well like on in the whoop section, like on some of these rough parts, like the lot of bumps going into the sand. Like I felt like you could see a lot of vibration in his hands, and I felt like that's, to me, that was like his biggest issue. And what, when he went down last week and landed off the finish line, you know, front end gets a little light, you know, rigid, tucks away, you know, even a couple of races ago, like when the tracks get slippery and rough, I feel like, you know, El Hombre, his bike setup isn't the best for that. And so Eli bike is really well in that. And, you know, Eli's bike's been well all year long. I think that's a testament how he's riding. But you can see that with traction out of the corners. Pay attention to how Eli, you know, his traction coming out of the corners. Pay attention when Eli touches things compared to even the other guys around. His whoop entrance, like what happens when his bike goes side to side? It's not violent. It goes side to side like everybody else, but you can see the other guy's hand shaking. You know, you can see the vibration through their bodies. With Eli, his body position and how he looks on the bike never really changes. Even when it goes side to side, he still looks relaxed where the other guys tense up. So when you're riding on the track and you're doing 40,000 laps on it, you know, that takes a lot of toll. And you could see the difference of why I feel like these last few races, at the end of the races, Eli's still going strong. You know, like there's no fear when the track breaks down even more. Eli's still looking the same. He still looks relaxed, where I think these guys are starting to, other things are popping up, whether they end up knocking each other down or whether they're trying to start riding his race. And I think that's a part of bike setup and belief on what's going on. But to me, just, you know, outside looking in, I just noticed those little things. And you know, when the track gets really broken down, I see the difference between his bike and Eli's bike and the rest of those guys. So, you know, it was a good race. Justin was just there, man. He just said, look, this finger probably was numb, couldn't even hang on, whatever. You know, bam, bam, he's going to do something, has a chance to win. And there was a lot of mistakes made from everybody through the whoop sections, including Eli. But when Eli did it, it was like, you know, you know, whatever. He kept moving. When those guys did it, it was like, oh, they're going to go down. Like, they're almost in the hay bales, you know, losing positions. But nonetheless, everybody got a good fight and, you know, it was all right. You know, with these tracks, with having, you know, the shorter lap times, again, like it's tough because they can only build, you know, so much track in these stadiums. So when you get in a position where you have these shorter lap times, you just kind of think like more laps, you know, I guess shorter lap times equals better racing because there's not enough time to separate the guys. Well, even back in my day, when you look at shorter lap times, you look at how far guys lap up. And, you know, people talk about lap traffic and becoming an issue. Well, I think there's a difference between, you know, lapping 15th through 20th compared to lapping top 10 riders. And, you know, those guys, you know, there's bonuses goes back to these guys to 10th place. I mean, some of them even like 15th. So when they're battling and Eli and those guys come up and people are like, get out the way, you got to remember they're racing for a check also. You know, they're in their own battle. And, you know, no matter how many times you race, like you never really expect it to be, you know, lapping inside the top 10. So, you know, and it always became a problem when we raced at like Phoenix and some of these shorter tracks back in my day where it was always like the short lap times. You always got up into these lappers and I found the shorter lap times always made it more difficult for, you know, the leaders to get by some of the guys that entered the races. And that's because you were lapping up to the top 10. So, you know, when you get back to that 15th and all that, sometimes you'll get, you know, guys that make a mistake or end up in your way, but normally it's not like they're racing. When you lap up in these shorter ones, these guys are racing and then all of a sudden they're racing Hart Raff and those guys, they're racing each other. And then, you know, you got Eli and those guys coming. So, and what makes it even more difficult for the, you know, the lappers is when you have, you know, the top, you know, three or four riders in the, you know, one through four, when they're racing each other, it's not only like you have to let one guy go or two, you got to let all of them go. And if, you know, let's just say you're coming up the lap Bogle and, you know, you're, you know, Hart Raff, you're right behind Bogle, whatnot. If Barsha and Anderson, you got to let those guys go and Justin waits maybe another straightaway, you know how much time you lose like from letting that happen. So I think that's a lot of reasons why using when you catch the lappers, there's a pair of them or they're battling and that really makes it difficult in leaders. And I understand, you know, for those other guys, the lappers, you know, that time that, I mean, they're obviously back there for a reason. They're battling each other to let, you know, Bogle and Jason Anderson and Barsha go past and Justin doesn't, you know, how much time you lose right there just makes it difficult for you. So another big talking point, obviously, was the Jason Justin, the JJ show, you know, and maybe Justin didn't mean to go in and like clean him out, because I've been on that side where you go in and you think, okay, this guy, he's got to see me. He's got to see me on here. So I'm going straight in there. Jason turns down. You would think he would see him out of the corner of your eye, but most of these guys are looking straight down at their front tire. So Justin's coming in, you know, 45 degree angle, whatever it is, not necessarily good at math, but he's coming in over here. Justin doesn't see him. That's why, I mean, Jason doesn't see him. That's why he's gassing it. And he goes into Justin. Justin's not expecting him to keep gassing it. And case in point, he just knocks him down. So now right here, you see Justin's coming in and you would think Jason would see him, right? And Justin thinks Jason's going to see him. And you can see him. He's bracing himself. Justin's still looking out of his corner of his eye like, damn, this guy ain't stopping. And if you back it up a little bit, you know, coming out, when guys are coming out of these corners, they're looking down. So if Justin's coming this way, Jason's looking down. So we'll use this camera. Jason's looking at this camera. Justin's coming where his other camera is. He doesn't see him. So he's coming out the corner. He's getting on the gas. He doesn't see him. He doesn't see him until all of a sudden Justin's like right in front of him. And that's why I think it caught Barsha off a little bit to where he was like, damn, maybe that's why he waved his hand. But 100%, like you don't see those things, the way the helmet and all that, and coming out of the corner, that corner had a rut in it. Jason's focused in on his front tire, just making sure he doesn't get the rut. So he doesn't see Justin coming in. Case in point, you look up, a guy's coming backwards into your ass, and then you run into him, and then, you know, your race is over. So is looking at the pass, would you say it was dirty? Yeah, I mean, it's dirty because one guy gets knocked down. It's who's getting knocked down, and it's the fact that you knocked him down. Sometimes you dirty yourself, but the more I watch it, I actually don't think Justin meant to like clean him out like that. I think Justin went in. The part that makes it dirty is that he was basically going backwards at one point. So as a fan and a rider, he was coming in to make that block pass. Now, the fact that Jason went down is probably where Justin was like, damn, my bad, man. Like, I was coming in to stop you. 100%. I'm coming to stop you. But the fact that just you never saw me, you ran into me, knocks you down, that part is probably where he raises his hand at. Because, I mean, I've seen Justin do worse than that and probably had worse done to him. So the fact that he raised his hand, Justin's not that tight, would be like, oh, I'm going to do this. And like the smooth criminal style, Justin's not that tight. He just owns it. So I actually think he didn't mean to knock him down on that, but it was aggressive, ultra aggressive. And, you know, he did what he had to do. He was trying to get a victory. He knew if he didn't do it right there, that race was over for him. Unless Jason made a mistake, he wasn't going to beat El Hombre. So when you get past like that, you know, the race is usually won. Like when the guys are so close, when guys get past, they pass them back. So you try to get them instantly. You know, if you let two laps go, you know, unless the guy falls over and you make a mistake, you probably ain't getting him back. So I think Justin went in to stop that momentum because he knew, you know, Jason was riding good and he already had a gap on him anyway. So he had to make it happen. And that corner, the way it was left open, was it was meant for JJ to go in and Jason to get into it. So, yeah, dirty. Yeah, maybe aggressive. Hell yeah. It changes the whole landscape of the points lead. I mean, in my opinion, the points were done anyway. But nonetheless, Jason was still in the title hunt. He's still in the title hunt. But I think if he would have won that race, it would have put him back in a position where it was like, well, maybe it changes the way Eli rides. I mean, I think Eli would have probably got him anyway. But you never know. Jason could have done to Eli what, you know, he got done to him. So it changes all that when, you know, you got a guy up there and, you know, you got second in points. El Hombre's been, the second best guy, the guy that was been fighting Eli every weekend, probably one of the guys Eli doesn't want to raise. And you get knocked down by Justin. Well, Justin's in second point, so technically it's up to him now to fight Eli. But I think it just changed the whole landscape of what Eli was going to do, kind of the whole race concept. So when you look at the past, when you first watch it, and the fact that who's doing it, it's kind of like the freeze situation. you go, that's dirty. And when I'm not going to lie, I've only watched it one time in the replays. I came in this room and said, yeah, I mean, we talked about it. I'm like, yeah, that pass was dirty. But then when you watch it, the only thing that threw me off where I wasn't sold on it was that the fact that Justin raised his hand. And I know Justin. I know how he rides. I know how aggressive he is. He doesn't back down. Like, he owns it. Like, they don't call the dude Bam Bam for a reason for Bam Bam. Be like, oops, sorry. He don't do that. So that threw me off. It's kind of like when Bogle did it. Like, the fact that he didn't even look back, like, damn, it kind of turned me. Like, he must have made a mistake. And then you see the whole picture, but he didn't. So watching it now, I really think that, you know, and putting myself in that position because I've been in both of those situations, I really do think that Justin thought Jason was going to see him enough to slow down. Like, he went in there intentionally to stop Jason from, you know, to make a pass. The fact that Jason went down and didn't see him is the reason why I believe that it was ultra aggressive, maybe borderline dirty. But I really don't think Justin actually meant to knock Jason down on that. In case of point, that's why he raised his hand. And going back to my story back in 2011, I could see the same thing. Like, when Chad knocked me down at, Atlanta, and I'm like, dude, that was dirty. I still think it was dirty because I was one knocked down. But I remember Chad somewhere saying, I thought he would have saw me. And when you watch the race, like, you know, I'm like, damn, I should have saw him coming out. But I couldn't, because, again, I was focused on the corner and I wasn't planning on somebody coming backwards going down the straightaway. But it's kind of the same deal. So I can understand why Chad said what he said. Like, man, I thought he would have saw me enough to slow down. I didn't. I ran into him. So I see that with Jason and Justin on there. If you're being on side with me and El Hombre was, you don't care. Like, dude, like, whatever. Like, you took me out, blah, blah, blah. But I can see the other side, too. So you guys can make up your own opinion. You know, I think it was ultra aggressive, like ultra aggressive, borderline dirty. His intentions was to go in there and stop Jason. No point. He was going in to make the pass. I don't think he thought like he was going to knock him down. And so you guys can do what you want with it. But it was dirty. But I don't think it was dirty, if that makes sense. Yeah. Figure it out. You know, if you were watching the guys after the finish line, they had a quad, you know, they would jump the finish line and they have like a quad. It was a single table on a backward ski or something like that. And some of the guys, you know, they would land off there and then they would actually end up having to like preload their bike to like, you know, basically seat bounce it to get over. And then other times they would land off that finish line and just use the speed. And what you saw was, it wasn't necessarily the way the track was breaking down. It was the way they landed off the finish line. If they were able to land deep enough in that finish line where they can keep the bike compressed, they wouldn't have to like recompress it. Like, so if they landed off the finish line, stayed on the gas and the bike stayed squatted and it started lifting up as they were going off the face, then you'd be all right. What you saw guys when they had to like, you know, move around and readjust their body position is when they landed off the finish line, maybe they got caught up by the ruts. Maybe they came up a little short on the finish line and the bike started rebounding. It starts lifting back up before they get to that single. That's not good. You know, you can't jump a jump if the bike's actually lifting back up and you got a small face like that one. And you really see those when you have little faces, you know, like the 3-footers. See, it was like a 4 or 5 feet footer, then it'd be all right. But when the bike is, when they have a short landing like that, a short takeoff, excuse me, the bike has to be compressed to get that lift. And so you saw when guys, and it was way faster. If you can land off that finish line, keep that bike on the gas, keep that bike squatted and it lifts up off the face of the jump, you'd be all right. If you didn't, and you saw the guys when they land off the finish line kind of moving around and then they really sit into that jump, it's because the bike was lifting back up and they have to have it compressed to jump that quad. Otherwise, they would just, you know, go over the tabletop and then triple in the corner. So that's what you saw after that finish line. I've been very critical of sand sections and, you know, I like them, but I like them when they, you know, it depends on how they build them. And I actually thought this one was a good one because it was more like Phoenix where you had two different lines. They've actually kept it where the inside basically stayed like the inside. I mean, if guys end up going inside, they end up on the outsides because they made a mistake. But there was two, there was two lines in this, and it was a 180, just like Phoenix was, compared to the 90s where it was at Anaheim and a couple of these other tracks. So I didn't mind this sand section. I actually thought it was pretty cool where you can jump into that that corner, and they were kind of using the braking bumps to kind of slow themselves down and use it. And the outside stayed big enough, and it was thick enough where they wasn't blowing off the side of the track. So it was good. And the inside at some points was faster. So I thought this was a good sand section. And then leading into the whoops, outside let guys, you know, kind of get into the whoops. And to me, what you saw when guys went outside, it was like they could rail that corner, jump off that, you know, the sand section, that little hump, farther into the, you know, farther into that flat land, use their bike to spring them back over and get flat on top of those whoops, compared to the inside where guys were actually coming out and they didn't have that run, and they actually had to drive and try to get the bike to squat to go into them. And I felt like the guys that went inside, they struggled more blitzing the whoops compared to the guys that had that momentum jumping off that, and they were able to get their bike light. And the biggest thing in whoops is when you watch the race, I think the guy in the 250 class, the kid on the Kawasaki, McAdoo in the 250 class, it looked like, dude, he came out that sand section and landed and never let off when he railed outside. And that was because he had so much momentum. His bike was super light, so he was able to use the momentum and pop over that first whoop and get plane, like planed out, and really just kind of hit the top of the whoops. And that's why he was going so much faster than everybody. And it looked like on TV, when you see a guy like that, you're like, damn, dude, he's taking a chance. What he's doing is actually like, it's the way he railed that sand section. He's using his body and momentum and his bike setup to actually get on top of those whoops and get planed out, compared to going to the inside and then his bike is, you know, squatted down. His chance of actually getting over the first whoop, that first little hump, without it actually rebounding is unlikely. And, you know, so I felt like that commitment that he was able to make, it was so much faster when he did it from the outside. And, you know, when you have that momentum, you can actually have more options to, you know, get planed down on the whoops or, you know, jump into them. So felt like the guys that went on the inside didn't have the good drive, and they were either usually jumping the whoops or they went in, you know, slowly in the beginning part to get set up, and then they were able to blitz it. You went outside and you had the commitment and you can use your bike coming off that sand section to pre-hop into the whoops. It's kind of like that finish line jump. You know, if you can land off that finish line, keep that bike squatted, you don't have to make another adjustment. The bike squatted, it's going to lift you up automatically. If you come up short, which would be like tapping the first part of that whoop and getting thrown off, you're going to have to make some adjustments to how to squat your bike and do that. So guys that went inside usually kind of jumped it or went into the whoop section a little bit slower and then tried blitzing. Guys that went outside, like McAdoo and Eli did it a few times, man, if they got it right, they were only hitting the first couple inches of those whoops because they didn't get upset in the beginning part. And case in point, they were super fast in it. So to me, when I watched Malcolm crash, it was like he came in there, he didn't get that corner right. He ends up getting to a point where the back end is starting to lift up as he's going off the face of that jump. And when that happens, you're losing traction, you know, so his bike's not squatted, you know, he's not getting the compression. So instead of going off like this, Malcolm comes out that corner and his back end's doing this. So he drives into that face. He drives into the face, and case in point, he doesn't get the lift on the front end. It's almost like his bike goes off somewhat even and he goes forward instead of like up to where he can get into it. And that's why when you see him, like he, you know, comes out the corner, hits a jump, and he's already like somewhat endoing like halfway over. And the way when guys were able to get that triple out of the corner, guys were like either setting up, they almost had to take their time into that. And it's going back to where I was saying, you know, keeping the back end squatted, keeping, you know, the lift on these things. Cause when you get these ruts, the last thing you want is lift on there. The front end's, you know, staying down, the back end's coming up, or you're off. And what happened with Malcolm, he makes a small mistake in that corner and he comes out, he loses the front end a little bit. So kind of throws his weight off. And as you can see, his back end never squats going off the face of that jump, never squats. And all the other times he comes out, his front wheel's in the same ruts, back end is in the rut. But nonetheless, he's able to keep the fender somewhat touched on that, you know, the rear tire. Where this time he comes in, you can watch, look at the distance between his tire and his rear fender. It's still up. You can see that. That's not what you want, especially on these like little jumps. you want that thing squatted. You want the front end coming up more than anything else, not the rear. And he comes out that corner, you see his back end squats. He loses the front end. His rear end starts coming up, or it never really squats. And he just breaks loose and he loses traction right there and he's done. Mistake was made into the corner. That's what caused that thing. And then so coming back out, one motion out of the corner, back in, squat it, stay off the jump, driving forward. He doesn't come out, makes a mistake. He loses traction, back in, doesn't squat, and he's basically rear and spinning and he never gets to drive and he hits a jump like this. And, you know, it comes up short. It's Indy. It's super sticky. And that's another situation where on these sticky surfaces and sticky tracks, you don't want to come up short on things because that happened. If this was at Dallas, he would have just came up short and it wouldn't have stalled him out like that. But since it was sticky here, when he came up short, he framed that thing and it stuck and he was along for the ride. But all that happened in that corner right there, and that's what caused the crash. So luckily he's a big boy. He's all right. But yeah, that's that whole traction, getting the rear and squatted in these types of tracks and ruts. So there you go. Justin struggled in that rhythm section all day long. And it was weird because even Jet Lawrence in the 250 class, you know, he struggled into it. And it wasn't because of like the distance. It was hard to jump. I think a lot of it came from when Justin made the mistake in the whoops and he got in that corner. Let's say he got kicked at the end of the whoops, got in that corner hotter than he wanted. He wasn't able to actually turn down, get set up to where his bike, you know, he can do unlike what Malcolm did. Keep the rear and squat it to shoot off that jump. And when Justin didn't get the, you know, the drive out of that corner, off that triple, you know, keeping the back end squatted, like he was struggling. He couldn't triple that thing. Where I felt like Eli was getting in that corner, almost taking his time and making sure he got, you know, the drive coming out of that. And, you know, it wasn't just Malcolm or Justin. A lot of guys struggle with that. And I think, again, it was coming out of that corner. If you can take your time and then set up, and then keep on the gas and drive off that triple, you'll be fine. But if you didn't, you came in that corner, you tried getting on the gas too much and you had to kind of react. It's almost like instead of having, just like at the finish line, instead of having your back end stay in one motion, keep driving forward, if you have this motion going on, you lose momentum. And as quickly as that, you know, triple or that single was coming out of that corner, hit that triple, it was like a big thing. You didn't have enough time to see bounce it or try to get set up. So Eli was doing a good job of taking his time and getting through that. And the fact is, like, it was so much faster to go triple quad out of that compared to, you know, doing the other way around. So again, bike setup, you know, being in second allows you to do that, taking your time. But I think a lot of that came from the guys, you know, going through the whoops, making a mistake, you know, because they struggled through the whoops, getting thrown in that corner too much. And then like feeling like, you know, sometimes as a racer, you come out, you'd be like, oh, I got to get on the gas so hard to make this triple coming out this corner. And what you end up doing is making a mistake, getting on it too much, and you don't get the drive. So kind of like a golf swing, like they say, like you go to swing that club, like you think like, all right, I'm just going to swing it as hard as I can because that's where power comes from. But that transition from, you know, at the top to drop, that's a big deal. If you don't get the thing set in right, the rest of it is history. So they tell you low and slow, make that transition to get through it. So it's kind of the same thing here. The guys that took their time, make sure they set up in the top of that corner, then they can drive down and get good. So it's cool, like, you know, watching this, because I remember having those conversations. Like my dad used to tell me, like, son, like you're rushing. You hear guys saying like they're rushing the track too much. It's not because like you're like, oh, like, well, you're slow. You want to rush, like you want to go fast. And you think the faster is by just rushing, bulldozing the whole track, you know, being aggressive. These tracks right here, you know, being fast is able to actually set up and just doing the simple things. Come out the corner, just stay straight, see bounce, jump, triple, you quad out. Get in there, you get aggressive, you get excited, like, I want to get there. Eli's on my ass, whatever. I want that neck burn. Come out the corner, you get a little too excited. And you make a mistake and that costs you your whole thing. And what happens here when you get these tracks, it costs you like time, not just a little bit. You can't go like double, triple. When you lose that part out of that corner, you lose a lot of time because all these ruts, you just don't have enough time to mess it up. So you go back this whole track, you put it together piece by piece, finish line, make sure you land off that, get the quad right, come out where J and J got into it. Getting that sand section, coming out of that corner, see how you get into the whoop section. If you didn't get in the whoop section right, that cost you, made you mess up, made you end up in that corner too hot. And then now you got to affect that next, you know, section, that whole rhythm section where Justin got passed by Eli. If you don't get that right, come out that double that's coming across the, you know, the first corner. You see guys that got in that corner, like they make a mistake, then they're like struggling to jump that jump. So all these sections, like this track was well put together. So one mistake here cost you here, which when you made that mistake cost you over there. And that's why I feel like you saw gaps in guys. You know, there was a big difference. Like they make a mistake here. Watch him guy that makes a mistake in the whoops. See how he reacts and see how, you know, he recovers on that next rhythm section. Most likely he makes a mistake in the whoops. He's going to make a mistake in that rhythm section. He's going to make a mistake in that rhythm section. He's going to make a mistake over that next double. If you don't get that double right, then you can't get that triple right before the mechanics error. So trickle effect, baby. Trickle effect. It happens. And it happened here. When there's tracks like this and, you know, guys are making mistakes, guys getting lapped up to eighth place, whatever. Guys are taking out each other. There's always the details on these situations. And I get excited watching races like this because it's you can really break stuff down. You can see why things happen and like why guys make a mistake, you know, here. And it's like, man, they keep continue making it throughout the rest of the track and the rest of the lap. And with tracks like this, it's cool to break it down and have technicals. So all that being said, you know what happened, though. There's still one guy that's going to end up with being the neck burn. And I just feel like guys are making mistakes. Guys are getting taken now. He's just sitting there like, look at you fools. Look at you fools. I'm going to blow past you like I do every weekend now. And even though my neck is fried, even though I look like James Stewart, more like Wesley Snipes, because he doc. He doc. I told you last weekend, dude's burnt. Burnt. I can't even say he's like me. He's like my shirt. Black, like coffee. Do you like it? Eli likes it. Black, burnt. Eli Tomac. He gonna get it. What? Hit it with it, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Eli Tomac, your neck's on fire. Neck burn. Let's hit it again, because he does it. He deserves it.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Damn, that neck on fire. You man, dude. You man, I said last weekend, you're putting these guys in situations where they gotta do things they don't want to do. And at this point, they fighting each other now. They didn't even worry about you. They're like, oh, he gonna come. Eli's gonna be like, you know, he used to go ET on JS. He don't do that no more. He just be toe smacking y'all. Just toe smacking. El Humber got smacked last weekend. Justin came in, smacked you around. Everybody, they shooting each other. People jumping on each other. People getting like, you got Predator coming out the sky, coming up short. Everybody's doing it. And this guy right here, he just takes, look at how calm he is. Look at his face. People, look at his face at the end of the race. Does that look like a guy that's worried? Hell nah. He's like, yeah, I knew these fools. I know these fools. JJ, they gonna get into it. He was like, damn, you see how that dude just took him out? Look at that. I put my earplugs out because I don't want to hear none of this BS because I'm doing my thing. Eli Tomac, you got a neck burn again. Congratulations. What, four in a row? God damn it, stop winning. You're getting close to 50. At least you can only get RC this year. I'm safe until 2023. That should be a clap right there. Anyways, this guy's killing it. You guys are awesome. But you know what time it is. You know what time it is. Your favorite time, my favorite time. I don't know. Damn, I can't even say it right because I'm so excited to get into it. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. Stews and Stews. After the break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, you know what time it is. My favorite part, your favorite part, hell, all of us' favorite part. I know I enjoy doing it. Maybe you enjoy listening to Stews and Stewed. Now we're going to go with the first one. We're going to go with Stews. You know where I'm going with this. Guys that should be just pump studs. Guys that just do stuff that just makes this list, but do stuff that others can't. I don't know if it's like a superpower. It should be a stew power. Nonetheless, this guy that's just getting Wesley Snipes burnt. Getting all these damn neck burns on there. And should I feel like a little like Stew because he's getting close to 50? Nah, no. And he might retire this year. And the only way if he retires, he can only get Ricky's ass. Woo! I'm good till another year. I'm good. Probably happen at Anaheim 1 next year. But nonetheless, whatever. Eli Tomac, you know you're a stew. You're a stud. You just letting these guys smack each other. You just, all you have to do is just do you. You just like, maybe you are E.T. Maybe you are an alien. Because the way you riding is out of this world. We all didn't see this one coming. It's Independence Day, the remix. And it's Eli Tomac. Wake up one day, have coffee, and next thing you know, there's an alien standing at your door. And it's Eli Tomac. So you the stew. Damn, you the stew. Win all these goddamn races. Getting all burnt like me, but congratulations. Getting another neck, but hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
That neck's on fire. That neck's on fire. They're going to think it's JS7 showing up at Anaheim 1 next year. Keep winning like this. All I'm saying. So, and another stew. Going to go into the smaller bike class. Jet Lawrence. Heat race route was impressive. Main event was impressive. But the heat race route kind of reminds me back of 2006. San Diego. When the king took me out. But I thought it was Chad Reed. My bad, bro. My bad. We squashed it. I saw blue and I saw red afterward. I was coming for your ass. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. But nonetheless, that was a good ride. You had Chiz out there. Chiz, what are you doing? I'm sure maybe you don't get the heat race bonuses win, but you should have knocked his ass down. You should have knocked him down. But you gave a little fight. You came in there and you were going to go do what Justin did to Alhambra. But Chiz like, I'm a nonviolent person. I'm a protester. I'm against the war. I'm against violence. So he's like, I just go for it. I'm just here. I'm a feeling guy. And this dude's coming. That was impressive ride, Jet. So you get a stew for that. And I'm going to get a stew for myself. Because people, last weekend, I was gone. I struggled last weekend. I told you, I was like 10. I was sick. But I'm back. And I missed you guys. I'm happy to be back. And I got a clap from Cole. Justin Barsha, you rode pretty good. Even though you took out Alejandro. I mean, you still and nonetheless. Eli Tomac, Jet Lawrence, and James Stewart. Y'all all stews. I'm going to get myself neck burn. Hit it for me, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Yeah, that just happened, people. Maybe you're going to be on this next list and stew because it just happened. So let's get into that one. Hold up. Water break. We back, people. All right, next up. You know what time it is. People that should be stewed. Pissed off. Pissed off for whatever. Rent's late. Traffic's too much. Girls talking to the dude over there. Or your dude's talking to the Supercross girls. Whatever it is. You're going to be pissed off after watching it. Pissed off because you made it. Stewed. All right. El Hombre. Number one. Should he be stewed? Yeah. I don't even know. I don't even think he should be on this list. So I ain't going to put him on this list. I just mentioned him because I just mentioned him. He can't be Stu because he put people on Stu's before. And at the end of the day, like, you know what I mean? What goes around comes around. You be popping caps, blowing people up. You got to expect it to come back somehow. So I can't put him on that. Justin Barsha, are you Stu? You Stu because people calling you dirty? Nah. You bam, bam. You know what time it is. But I tell you what, you Stu because AMA thought it was dirty and they fined you $3,000 and 3 points. Now, the points are like, whatever. Y'all so close. Like, I mean, I guess the points do cost more. His points, actually, those 3 points could be like hundreds of thousands of dollars at the end of the down. Championships, no championships. Second, third place. I think it is a big gap. But he's going to be stewed because, damn, $3,000. That's like winning the 250, 450 main event. You don't even pay enough to win that. I don't even know how much the purse is, but I know it's over half. It's like a tax bracket taking $3,000 from y'all. Like, so they did. So that's going to be a first class ticket to wherever the hell they're going to use it. But $3,000, that's why you stew. It ain't because you took out El Hombre. Maybe it ain't because of points. It's because they had the audacity to take out that $3,000. And you probably took out more than you got for second place in the main event. But that's why you'd be stewed. And then the other people, Malcolm, he should be stewed because he was rolling. He was reeling good. And people, don't you see it? I see it. Don't you see a little swag on that thing? That Polk County boy? Brother, like he's looking like brother over here, showing up at the gate like, y'all know what time it is. And people are starting to believe it. I mean, he ran in on Tomac. Eli was like, yeah, well, man, I thought I had only the violence with El Hombre. Nah, like Polk County coming out. And then he had to crash. Should he be stewed? Nah, I mean, it just happens to best of us. He'll be back next week. But the people were stewed was the two guys that was fighting. They were fighting. People, I haven't seen a fight since Tyler Evans one punch went in the stands and ripped this dude out for heckling and then got back on the bike and made it to the main event. Yeah, that did happen. Let me tell you that story, people. Back in whatever the hell it was a long time ago, some guy was at Anaheim Stadium and had the starting gate backed up to the fans talking, blah, 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 one punch, whatever. This dude gets off his motorcycle on the last chance, on the gate, gets off his motorcycle, goes in the stand, pop, dude, hits him, and then comes back on the gate and lines up, takes off. Rest in peace, one punch. That was a one punch. Can you imagine that? Like, can you imagine James Stewart? Like, you know what, bro? Hey, Jeremy, J-Bone, hold this bike. Go up, knock this dude back, come back in there, put on a goggles. Like, nothing ever happened. Pull that tear off, the Oakley tear off. Keep going. That happened. So these guys, I don't know, who was it? Cole, tell me the names.
Devin Raper and Alex Ray.
Oh, Ray. Raper. Whatever. I don't even know why they were fighting. They were fighting because they were obviously stewed on there. And like they had on the same gear. Maybe that's why they were stewed. They had on the same gear. It was both, you know, suspect, but whatever. They ended up taking each other out, or one guy took out, but he got stewed. They were fighting, dude. That was awesome. Like, bro, isn't like, what's the name? Ray? Nah, that's the other rapper. That's Seven Deuce Deuce. I thought he rapped. Nonetheless, people, all you can hear was like the crowd going, ah, people get excited for that. Like, damn, it's like WWE at Supercross. You got 2-for-1 special over here. Supercross, the guy that should have been Stoops, the guy that ran into him on the Kawasaki got flipped over, but whatever. Look at him fighting. The Ashtrix guys are like, ah, I'm going to try to pull you off. Nah, not really. I'm going to let it go. But TV ratings, they show that. Should tell you right there. Sorry, people. I went way too long on this thing, so I'm going to just bang it back. Guys who should be stewed, obviously. Justin Barsha, you number one. Because, hell, they just took $3,000 from you. You ain't make that much for winning the goddamn race, let alone second place. They take that away from you for this pass. That was borderline, not even dirty. And you just wave. You should have got give me a hand slap. Maybe he was on probation or something. That's why they did it. El Hombre, I don't even know if he said anything. So, Stu, man, El Hombre, nah, because you expected Malcolm, shit happens. And the rest of them, Raper and Reaper, whatever they, LA Rays, Alex Rays, whatever, the guys that's fighting, you should be Stu. Y'all had on the same gear and y'all were fighting. So, nonetheless, it is what it is, people. Those are your Stus and Stus. I was winning and then I wasn't winning anymore. And that was it. Folks, oh, I feel better to be back. I missed you guys. I'm sorry. Even though I was here last weekend, I was still gone. So, nonetheless, Eli Tomac, dude's killing it. Justin, Jason, and Malcolm, y'all all within a few points. So, whoo, that was fun. I hope you guys didn't like this. Make sure you always click and subscribe. And until next time, we're going to do something. But, Cole, hit it for me.
Suntan, next on fire.
Next burnt. Eli Tomac, congratulations. Jet Lawrence, congratulations. And Alex and Raver, whatever. Hopefully, y'all don't fight no more. Keep the balance at home. Justin Barsha, petition. You'll get your money back, boy. Until next time, people, I'll see y'all at round 12, wherever the hell they racing at again. But until then, I will be back wherever we are. I'll be back here. I'll see you guys back here. Make sure you click and subscribe. And as always, make sure you check us out on podcast, YouTube, wherever y'all hear us at. I missed you guys. Click and like. I'm done.